going to begin with our friends of the show, Joe Brill, Chicago nightlife historian, and our friend Steve Mendel, and they were regulars at the Bucket of Suds. And the Bucket of Suds was, where was it at? Cicero and
Belmont.
It was at 3121 North Cicero.
And Joe, you're planning a tribute, November 20th, Bucket of Suds tribute at Maria's Package Goods and Community Bar in Bridgeport, another friends of the show. So tell us, Bucket of Suds is closed. When did it close? Tell us why it's important and why you're doing the tribute.
Well, the bucket has been a place that ultimately it was what historians like Ray Oldenburg called, sociologists call it, a great good place, a place where people would hang out, camaraderie. They would meet together. Now, this is years before cell phones. Everyone's connected to the cell phone nowadays and about information network. That didn't exist. So someone would tell you, Dave, hey, go check out this place. You might like it. I don't even know how I found out about the Bucket of Suds. Just someone told me. It was around 32 years ago. I was about to get married, went there, and I was exposed to this kind of hidden enclave of a history of liquor that Joe Dano, the reason to go to the Bucket of Suds, and Steve can probably concur with this, is that Joe Dano was the focus of everything. He was this jazz philosopher. He used to hang out with Louis Armstrong's band. He used to hang out with Billie Holiday during the heydays, but also his father, and I'll let Steve talk about this, had a place beforehand that Joe opened up the Bucket of Suds.
What were the years, before we go to Steve, what were the years of the Bucket of Suds?
And it started in the 60s, I believe, like probably 1960.
Right. Until about 19, closed in November of 1996.
And so how old was Joe then during the heyday?
Well, when they closed the bar in 96, he was 80. Okay. So he'd be 100. This past June, Joe would have been 100 years old, which is kind of the tie-in with his tribute to the Bucket. It's 20 years since it's closed, and Joe would have been 100 years old today.
And you have great notes on how you first, tell us in your own words how you came up there, Steve, and how you found out.
Well, I found out about it not through music or drinking or anything. I found out about it because I was at a barbecue in Lisle. And Joe used to, besides serving all these drinks, he used to make his own mustard, ketchup, hot sauce, barbecue sauce. And I was at a barbecue, and I had this barbecue sauce on some ribs, and it was
Bucket of Suds sauce batch number 9?
Yes.
What was it? What did he have in it?
It was just a tangy, really kind of tangy, sweet barbecue sauce. And, you know, this is 1987, so I had to get the old pen and paper and write down the address, and I put it in my wallet thinking I got to go up there someday. And I didn't know what I was going to see, and it took me a couple attempts to get there. And when I got there, my eyes lit up. I just couldn't believe. I'd never seen a bar like this. No jukebox, no TV, no pool table. You just went there as a, you know, a famous Chicagoan said, for the lively art of conversation.
But also you'd have to get buzzed to get in because the neighborhood was a little seedy at the time.
Yeah, it was no man's land.
Yeah, it was no man's land. It was a dark facade. They had a sign over there that was a hulking sign that had Bucket of Suds information and went from the third floor to the bottom of the first floor that was basically unlit for most of I remember it. And they would, in the entranceway, there was a cutout figures of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And somehow you enter this world of 1,000 bottles of liquor that were from post-Civil War, Prohibition liquor, liquors that you would never see. And Joe knew all these distilleries from Louisville, Kentucky, and people would go around the world and bring back a bottle of liquor from China that had a dead lizard inside of it. It was nothing like bars nowadays.
Yeah, and you're gonna, has some of this been bequeathed, like Dave Jamella? Are you gonna have some of this at your events?
Yeah, Dave loaned us some of his, and that's gonna be for a shrine.
However, and Dave from the Green Mill.
Dave Jamella, great guy. Dave was essential for the revival of the Bucket because he would bring in artists like Charles Erlin to play. And then on the sly, the next day, I'd be helping Dave unload the Hammond B3 and the Leslie into the Bucket so that Joe could be entertained by Charles Erlin.
Yeah, and it was what days was it open? It wasn't open 7 days a week. But.
When I first started going there in 87, it had only been open Wednesday through Saturday. And then about after Joe's sister-in-law passed away, who did all the cooking.
Fina.
She, Joe only was open on Fridays and Saturdays for the last maybe 3 or 4 years. He was only open on the weekend.
Why did it close?
Well, Joe was 80. And that had a lot to do with it. And also, he lived in, a lot of people thought he lived upstairs or in the neighborhood. He lived in, like, unincorporated Hinsdale, like, yeah. Route 83 in the Stevenson Expressway. And he was doing that drive-in. And a lot of times he would stay there overnight and just stay up all night making his sauces and, you know, making his liqueurs. And he'd sleep in a chair. And I think his family was worried about him at that age, you know, and he was moving slow.
Now, there was a proximity to WXRT over there. So is that how people like Elvis Costello, he did the record release party for Spike
right
there? So there was a rock and roll element in there. Chrissy Hynde went in there. Tell us about some of the people that went in there.
Yeah, Elvis Costello went there, XTC. Chrissy Hynde used to hang out there through her association with Urge Overkill. It was about two, three blocks away from the WXRT studios. So they would bring in, they'd have people in the studio for interviews and bring them in over there. Charlie Daniels, Steve Earle, a lot of, you know. And Joe didn't care about any of them. I was there for the Elvis Costello Spike release, and one of his record company guys was trying to get Joe to play the cassette. And Elvis was at the bar getting a drink, and Joe only played jazz music in there. And he didn't want to play it, and Elvis said the same thing, that he'd rather hear jazz. He's been working on this album for, you know, a year. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted to hear the jazz.
Was there something, you know, maybe he was only there once. This was the time I just gotten married, so I wasn't going out that much. but was there something very unique? I mean, Chicago unique about it? So you take somebody from Elvis, like Elvis Costello, who's been to a million places like that across the country. Was there something in there that spoke Chicago, that you knew you were in a Chicago tavern?
Well, basically, Joe was almost like a figurehead, like Harry Carey. He had this thick glasses that, you know, you could probably light a match with if you put, and he had this disheveled hair that swept away like in some old Greek god, and then he wore these flannel shirts. He had this ethos of working class America, and even before this kind of modern resurgence of populism in America that's happening right now, Joe used to make these bumper stickers that said, bye bye American, or it's bye bye America. Now, Joe wasn't pushing this kind of isolationist. He was a believer in the common working guy, the union guy who went to work, had to blow off some steam afterwards. And so that represented, I think, a lot about Chicago's kind of culture, where I grew up in the backyards, where my aunt owned a bar in 47th and Racine, or Joanne Belmont and Cicero. The same type of work ethic permeates everything like that.
I was reading some of your notes, a story you did for Mash Tun Journal, Joe, and you were talking about some of the mixologists and bartenders today, and you called them foppish steampunk scientists.
And that was kind.
So explain that and how this was different.
Yeah, I mean,
I get that. I only really drink beer and tequila, yeah. But, you know, sometimes I'm intimidated to order a drink because you're right. These guys are.
I understand that the kind of the fabrication and the getting to understand how a cocktail is properly prepared. Joe's cocktails were not really amazing cocktails in some sense because they were blended drinks. I went there because I could get a very, very old Fitzgerald, which was impossible to get a bourbon, a very rare bourbon to drink. However, the art of mixology has taken over from the sense of the personality. We went there because Joe was this larger-than-life character. He would regale us with stories about hanging out in the 30s and 40s and 50s in all these jazz clubs. He knew his jazz music when I was first 30 years ago learning about it as a DJ. So this was the kind of like learning by your elders, a process of oral history that was important. Nowadays, mixologists, and I don't even like to call them, we don't even call ourselves, our bartenders at Maria's, mixologists, we call them bartenders because.
But they have intimidated me even when I order a beer. We're going to take a break, and when we come back out of the break, we're going to play a little snippet. Thanks for putting this together, Steve. Of Joe had a little radio show there.
Yes.
And I want to just give the listeners a flavor of what that sounded like, and then we can talk about how he set up his little recording thing with the alligator clips and all that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. And we're here with our friends Joe Brill and Steve Mendel. And we're talking about Bucket of Suds. You're doing a tribute at Maria's on November 20th to the Bucket of Suds. Give us the details, Joe. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. Basically, it's 4 o'clock is a way for people to kind of socialize and also basically to pay tribute to Joe Dano, because these are unforgotten individuals who are essential to Chicago's lifestyle. We're going to be reprinting some of Joe's newsletters. There's 2 of them, one from the winter of 1990 and 1991. Those are going to be reprinted. We're going to have some essays, one that I wrote, reprinted in that. And then we're going to also have a reprint of his famous business card, which had a list of all his cocktails, for example, like the Coco Loco, the Chicago Loop.
What was in the Apple Knocker?
Apple Knocker? Apple Knocker was a drink with apple liqueur and cinnamon. Joe used to distill.
I think that's part of Trump's new cabinet, somebody named Apple Knocker.
I probably think Steve probably would have more information than I have on the liqueurs there and what we're going to have available.
The Apple Knocker was tasted like a piece of apple pie. It was pretty much apple liqueur. He made his own liqueurs. That's what was interesting. He made his own grapefruit liqueur, his own corn whiskey. Some of them he distilled, and some of them were infused. And he used a lot of grain alcohol, like Everclear, and then he'd soak fresh grapefruit in there, and then call it the sour ball. And
no wonder he didn't drive back to Hinsdale.
Yeah. And the building directly south of the Bucket's entrance was his kind of experimental distillery.
I know you guys travel around, and I know Joe and I, we've talked about Milwaukee, but it seems to me that there's more places of individuality and spirit and DIY and stuff like that in a place like Milwaukee than Chicago. They are fading away from Chicago. Am I right in that? And if so, why is that?
Yeah, I would think it has to do with the politics here in Chicago. I mean, remember, during the Daley administration, the father closed down hundreds of bars in C Chicago, just took away their licenses. The street I grew up on, 48th and Loomis, which I strangely still live in, it had 3 bars on the 4 corners. That doesn't exist any longer, except maybe in some little strange enclaves of the north side where you have places like the Charleston or Lottie's or something like
Archie's.
That.
Archie's by where Archie's, I live, yeah.
Archie's
yeah.
by your yeah. In your hood. But basically, those have gone bit the dust. Yeah. And I think it was just that they didn't want that type of kind of neighborhood flavor of just people getting drunk every night and coming home to their families.
Yeah, yeah. What is the address for people who've never been to Maria's? Give
it's
me the address.
And 960 West 31st Street in the heart of Bridgeport. We're going to have 6. Right now, one of my bartenders is we're going to present 6 different drinks. One of them is the Apple Knocker, which is a shot. The Elixir Lucifer, which is a shot, which is like a amaretto almost, I would think. And the Meister Liqueur. And we have 2 of the original bottles that Steve still owns that his nephew put out, I believe. Right, Steve?
Not my nephew. Joe Dano's grandson. After the bar had closed, Joe Dano's grandson, Scott, was about 19 or 20. And he wanted to carry on with his grandfather's tradition. And he tried to market 2 of the liqueurs that his grandfather made. But he had got outside investors in, and it went from being called Elixir Lucifer. They said that the devil's liquor isn't good. Call it Auburn.
Okay. So. Okay, we got a break for the news. I might have you hang out. I want to talk about Charlie out of the news.
Sure.
So thank you. It's the Bucket of Suds tribute. What time does it start?
4 o'clock.
Four o'clock.
Sunday, November 20th.
And no cover.
No cover.
No
and
cover.
A lot of freebies and a lot of festivities, I guess. And well, maybe some live music, too, that we're trying to get some friends of old Joe's to come over and do some free live set.
One of your prior guests, Frank Catalano,
yeah,
a jazz saxophonist, I became aware of him when he was playing with Charles Erland's band at the Bucket of Suds when Frank was like 17, 18. He shouldn't have even been in a bar. But I went to see Charles Erland, and Frank was so good that, you know, 20 years later, he's just an amazing player. So we're hoping to get people like that out there, too. Okay.
Well, thanks. Thanks for coming in and joining us tonight, and I'm sure it'll be a great time. So we'll be back after David Jennings in the news with Lloyd Sachs here on WGN 720.